We are now at the Gemara in Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, about 13 lines from when the lines get wide. Amar Rabbi Elazar called Parnas, Shemaniges Hatzibor Benachas, any leader who leads his community with patience and mercy, Zocha Manhiga B'Olam Haba, he will merit and lead them in Olam Haba as well, in the world to come, Shenemar. As the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, "Ki merachamam yinahagim va'al mabui ma'im yinahaleim," that those who have mercy in the present will lead them in the future. And the second half of the pasuk, "Al mabui ma'im yinahaleim," so they will lead them in the place where the water flows from the ground, like where there's spring water. So this idea of the spring water, of water flowing from the ground, so the Marsha explains that if you lead them benachas, it's good as long as you lead them like water. Water is Torah, as long as you lead them with Torah values, but you should do so benachas. The Rambam writes this in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perichov Hei, Halacha Aleph, that a person should not be noheg bisrara latzibur v'gasus ruach ela banav v'yer. You shouldn't lead with authority on the tzibur with arrogance, but you should lead with humility and fear. You shouldn't lord over other people. You shouldn't use your position of power for power. Rather, you should be a servant to those who are under you, or who whoever is your constituency. The next Gemara discusses Dea. So Amar Rav Elazar, Gedola Dea Shenitna Ben Shtei Osios. So Deya, the behavior of someone with understanding, intellect, is great because it was given between two letters of the Shem Hashem, of the name of God, Shenemar, Ki Kel Deos Hashem, because it says Kel Deos Hashem. So the word Deya is between Kel and Hashem. Now, what does it mean that's written between two letters? So there are different explanations. Rashi has two different explanations that maybe it's referring to two letters of Shem Hashem, two of the letters of Shem Hashem, or when it says Shtei Osios, Os from the Lashon of wonder, that the name of Hashem is an Os, so it's referring to that Deya is written between two names of Hashem. The Rashba explains that Deya is the ability to understand the balance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Din and Rachmim. That God is the God of mercy and the God of justice. And that's why it says, Ki Kel Deos Hashem. So Kel is Midas HaDin and Hashem is Midas HaRachmim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Din and Rachmim, with justice and mercy. And someone who Hashem gives him Deya, he will learn to understand the truth, to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants and Hashem's midos, and that balance of both din and rachamim. So that's the idea, says the Rashba, is that Deya is great because through Deya you're going to be able to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You understand this kind of balance on how all of our halachic system, which reflects the will of Hashem, is trying to find that perfect balance between midas hadin and midas rachamim. The Marsha says that Deya is ruach HaKodesh. That he wants to say that it's actually a day is between two osios. What does that mean? That the letters of Hashem, if you combine them, you combine different letters to create different names of God, that you can unlock and unleash certain spiritual powers. Each letter has significance, and when you combine them, they can create certain powers or understandings. And in fact, he writes, the Marsha writes, that Bezalel had that power. He had the power to join different letters through which he was able to create Shemos Hashem, which was gave him the understanding, special understanding, to build the Mishkan. It was Ruach, like his Ruach HaKodesh. Because the Pasuk says that he was actually given, that Bezalel was given, Kadosh Baruch Hu actually says that he was given Vayamale Osa Ruch Alakim Bachmu Vitfuna Vidas. He was given the spirit of Hashem with different types of wisdom, including Deya. Toras Chaim writes that Deah has the capacity to link Din with Rachamim, like, and he brings Yaakov as an example, that when Yaakov is running away from Esav and he has a dream with the angels and the Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, then he makes the condition. He says, if Hashem's with me, then Vahaya Hashem li l'Elokim. So you have li between Hashem and Elokim, again, that's the Deah, that he had the Deah to link Din and Rachamim. Now, the Gemara continues. It says, Vamar Abelazar, Gadol Mikdash, Shinitam Ben Shtei Osiyah, Shnemar Palta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem Kol Yodecha. That the Mikdash is great, because that was also given between two Osiyos. It says, Palta Hashem, Mikdash Hashem. So the Mikdash is between two Hashems. So it's between Hashem and Hashem. So the Rashba says that you need Deah for the Mikdash. Why? Because there's a lot of symbolism associated with the exact architecture of the Mikdash. So if you have Deah, you understand the symbols of the Mikdash. Also, the teachings of the Torah come in the Mikdash. Why? Because the Sanhedrin, that they reside in the Mikdash. So if you have Deah, you have a better understanding of the Mikdash, the significance of the Mikdash, the symbolism of the Mikdash, and also the teachings of Torah. And the Marsha points out that, again, he says that Bezalel was able to create Shemos Hashem so which you can get deeper understanding. So that makes a lot of sense, that the Mikdash also was between these two osios, because Deah leads to the Mikdash, to the building of the Mikdash. That's exactly what Bezalel did. And the Gemara then said, but wait a second, Maskel Rav Acha Karchina asks, Almiata, but if you say that anything between two Shemos Hashem, there is like Chashivus, is important. Gedola Nekama, so that means Nekama is revenge great. Nitna Ben Shtei Osios, Tichsiv Kel Nekama Hashem, Kel Nekama Sophia. That Nekama, revenge, is found between Kael and Hashem. How can that be? If something is between Hashem's name, it's a sign of importance. What importance is there in nekama, in revenge? The Marsha reads this question as saying, if indeed something's written between Hashem and Kael, it's a balance of din and rachmin. Where is the din and rachmin by nekama, by revenge? So what's the answer? The answer is Amar le lemilse hachinami. No, in other words, for the thing that it's necessary, it is great. It is great. And even the comma is great. In what way? Kidula, like that which Ula says, Damar Ula, Shte Hofayos Halalu. The two times it says Hofia, Kel Nekama Hashem, Kel Nekama Sophia. It means that the word Hofia modifies both the first Kel Nekamos Hashem and the second Kel Nekamos. So these two wonders in the Pasuk, Lama, why are they? Achas Lemida Tov, Achas Lemida Parnas. The first Kel Nekamos is for good. The second Kel Nekamos is for punishment. So what's the first Kel Nekamos, which is good? So Rashi says that Hashem removed his Shechina from the non-Jews and gave it to the Jews. Presumably, when Hashem went to the other nation, said, will you accept the Torah? And they said, no. So Kel Nekamos Hashem, he removed his Shechina. He first appeared to them, and then he removed the Shechina and gave it to the Jews. And the second to come is the Day of Judgment. The Marsha explains that the first Kel Nekamos Hashem is actually Midas HaRachmim for the Jewish people. And the second Kel Nekamos is a Midas HaDin for the non-Jews. Chasam Sofer beautifully writes that Nekama is actually the opposite of Deah. And he explains that, what's Nekama? The Nekama is that, not that at the end of the time there's going to be this big war, and that's going to defeat the enemies. It's not going to be b'cheru v'chani. It's not going to be with a sword and a spear. Ela kasher malah haaretz deah. But when the world is filled with deah, v'az higdil Hashem lasus imanu, and then the greatness of Hashem, when Hashem will become made great and to do wonders with us, m'meili yitlishu agoim saram v'yaspeku kaf. When the nation of the world realize the greatness of Hashem, they're going to pull their hairs out and they're going to hit themselves or clap and they're going to say, what did we do to cause so much sorrow to the Jewish people all these years? Because Hashem is the greatest. So the Deah will lead to Nekama. When the whole world understands Hashem, fully understands Hashem, and that will be a nekama to the non-Jews, not through fighting, not through punishment, but a recognition, a realization that everything that they believe is totally wrong, and all the times that they punished Klal Yisrael were wrong. And then the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rabbi Elazar." Elazar says, "Kol adam sheish bo deah kilav nivdam beis meis biyadav." Anyone who has daya, it's as if they built the Beis Hamikdash was built in his day. Why is that? So again, the Rashba says this is the function of the Beit Hamikdash. The function of the Beis Hamikdash is to understand. The function of the Beis Hamikdash is to have greater understandings of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and either through the Sanhedrin or through the symbolism of the Mikdash. So if you have the daya, so then it's as if you have this understanding. The Marsha says that it's that therefore that's why it's fitting that the Beis Hamikdash was built. And he's saying more it's fit if that and if you have daya, it's as if the Beis Hamikdash was built in your days, because it's fitting that the Beis Hamikdash should be built in your days, like Bezalel. Bezalel had daya and he was able to build the Beis Hamikdash. So if you also have daya, then really the Beis Hamikdash should be built in your days. And the Gemara continues and says, because both were given between the two letters or two Shemos Hashem. Vama Rabbi Lazar, Lazar says, Kol dam sheish bo deya lasof mitasher. Anyone who has deya, at the end, he will become wealthy. Shenemar v'das chadarim yimalu kol hon yekar v'naim. He says that through das, through this deya, this the deeper understanding, all the rooms will be filled with a lot of wealth. So the question is, like, what does deya have to do with wealth? Wealth is gashmias, deya is ruchnias, spirituality. So the Marsha explains, what does this mean here? And sometimes people, they think that that wealth depends on them. They work really hard. Some people work really hard to become wealthy. Some people work really hard, they don't become wealthy. And so so he said at the end of the day, people will realize, lasof mitasher, they'll realize in the end that I can only become wealthy through davening to Hashem. That at the end of the day, through the deya, through your deep understanding, you're going to realize that you have to ask mercy from Hashem to get the wealth, and that's how you'll become wealthy. Ben Yoyada says, no, what it means is, if you have deya, you're going to buy cheap, and lasof, years later, when the price rises, then you'll sell. In other words, they seem to be in favor of a 401k plan. You want mitasher, you have deya, if you have understanding that you buy cheap, or you invest cheap, and then lasof, the price will rise. Okay. Then the Gemara seems to take very harsh lush and very harsh language against people who don't have deya. The Gemara continues and says, "V'amar Rabbi Lazar call Adam she'ein bo deya. Anyone who doesn't have deya, also the rachamim, Allah, you're forbidden to have mercy on him." Shnemar, as the pasuk says, "Ki lo ambinosu al kei lo yirachamenu osei biotzri lo yichonenu." That because the Jewish people are not people of understanding, God will not have mercy on them and give them grace, and therefore we should cling to the characteristics of Hashem. We should act like Him as well. So we also shouldn't have mercy on someone who doesn't have deya. And this is a little bit difficult, right? Because shouldn't we have mercy on people who don't, you know, people don't can't take care of themselves? Shouldn't those be the people that we take care of? The Marsha says that someone that das is what distinguishes man from animals. So if a person doesn't want to use his das, it's a moral failing. Moral culpability. You're not using that which distinguishes you from the animals, and you've destroyed your essence and your form. And so that's why he says you shouldn't have pity on him. Others want to say the Chiddush Arim says how can you not have rachmanus on someone who you're supposed to have rachmanus, but what can you do? The Torah said you can't have rachmanus, you can't have mercy on someone who doesn't have deya. So he wants to say, no, what you need to do is, if someone doesn't have deya, the solution is to convince the person to use his deya, to teach him deya, to teach him understanding, so you'll be permitted to have mercy on him. But still, like you say, well, shouldn't you be kind to someone who doesn't understand? So someone is say, this type wants to say that deya here means that someone, doesn't mean someone who doesn't have any understanding. Someone who doesn't have any understanding, so then obviously you should have mercy and take care of him. But someone, he's referring to here someone who does not have the desire to recognize the goodness to those who are good to him. But they are simply mock people who are merciful. And he looks on people merciful as weakness. And he's someone who is not grateful at all. So for those people who are not grateful, who are not grateful to those who are kind to him, then you shouldn't be kind to him. That's the way he's going to be. So then, like sort of mida keneged mida, you shouldn't be merciful to this person. But the bottom line is that the Gemara here wants to say it's very important to work on our deya. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us intellect. It's a gift. And if someone doesn't utilize that gift, it's very, very problematic. The Gemara continues, Vamar Lazar, no Saint Pito, Lamisha Ain Baldea, Yusurin Bambala Allah Shinemar, Lachmacha, Yasima Mazor Tahtecha in Tfunabo. That anyone who gives bread to someone who doesn't have Deya, doesn't develop his intellect, suffering will come upon him if you give bread to this person. And he cites a pasuk of this pasuk Lachmacha Yasim Mazor Tahtecha in Tfunabo, and he says, Ain Mazor El Yusurim, so Mazor means Yusurim. And Shenemar Vayar Ephraim et Chalyo Yehuda et Mizoro. So Ephraim saw his army and Yehuda saw his suffering. This is a pasuk in Hosea. But this idea of Lach Mecha Yosimu Mozar Tachtecha. So if you give your bread will result in suffering to you, ain't Tevuna Bo, because for someone, because you gave your Lach Mecha, you gave your bread to someone who doesn't have Tevuna. So what's giving bread have to do with Tevuna? So I guess the symbolism, Marsha says, is that according to one opinion, what Adam ate was from what that the forbidden fruit was chita, and it was grain, was wheat, which obviously with processed that's bread, and that's what gave him Deya. Additionally, the Marsha points out that after Adam sinned, And Hashem said as a curse, you have to plant thorns and thistles. You have to, you know, it's not going to be easy for you to plant anymore. So Adam was very upset. He said, oh my gosh, I'm going to be just like an animal. I said, no. Now you're going to be able to eat bread. Animals won't be able to eat bread. Animals won't be able to at least to make bread. Now, just because you've been cursed and you have to work for a living, you're still different than the animal. You can still produce bread. In other words, you need Deya to produce bread. You're still going to be different than the animal. So if someone doesn't use his Deya, he is essentially saying, I'm animalistic. I only care about my physical desires, just eating and drinking. I'm not trying to develop my Deya. Then you're basically just like an animal, and therefore you don't deserve bread, as it were. It's more symbolic. You don't deserve bread because bread is something that is processed. Bread is something that symbolizes the difference between man and animal because it involves Deya in order to process it. And Amar Rabbi Elazar called Adam Shein. If you don't have Deya, at the end of the day, you're going to be exiled from your place. And he brings a pasuk from Yeshaya saying that at the end of the day, that because you care about is Gashmias, then at the end of the day, you're going to become poor. Because we said Hashem doesn't, he said if you have Deya, you'll become wealthy. If you don't have Deya, become poor. And eventually, you'll even be exiled from your place because you're not taking your Deya seriously, and therefore developing your intellect in this world, developing your gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you, is of primary importance based on this Gemara.